Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Happy Sunday, Declan Goff here. It is Vikings Event Line. Thank you for joining us. We're just a few days away from Vikings training camp. Judd Zolgad will be live from TCO to break all things down. Mackie and Judd and myself will have some cool things planned here in the coming days for Minnesota Vikings training camp. Stay tuned on that. In the meantime, I'll have Eric and Colin on here for a little Vikings Event Line conversation. We're going to talk a little Kirk Cousins and project the 2021 season as well. If this is the first time you're discovering Minnesota Vikings Event Line, thank you for supporting us. If you're watching us on our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. If you consume us via audio on Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, we appreciate it. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple as well. You've probably seen it ticking on the bottom of the screen for the video audience. If you'd like to get in on a future episode of Vikings Event Line, shoot me an email. It's VikingsEventLine@gmail.com. Scrolling across the screen right there, VikingsEventLine@gmail.com. I'll gladly put you in queue. I have a few other people lined up. We'll be doing these up until the season starts, basically, and then once the regular season starts, we'll go back to our traditional event line format with Mackie and Judd and myself. Be ready to break things down the second after the game ends. It's been a lot of fun for the last year here at Score North, interacting with you, the Vikings fans. We are the most interactive Vikings show in all of Vikings land, so we appreciate you guys for making this basically your show on Vikings Event Line. So again, if you want to get in a future episode, shoot me an email. VikingsEventLine@gmail.com. All right, logistics are over. We got two California dudes in the house. My guy Eric and Colin. Both these guys are in Cali right now. Obviously, at 3 o'clock or a couple hours behind, I should say, over there in California, the West Coast. Is it a little more difficult knowing that the Vikings games are like earlier on a noon start, or do you actually kind of prefer it because then like you get the rest of your day to your hands?
I moved here back from Minnesota a few years ago, and getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I like to drink a couple of beers, you know, game, so that makes it a little early to start, but it's nice to wake up and right into it for sure.
Hell yeah. Colin, what about you?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I mean, when you're on the Pacific, you know, on the West Coast here, you have football all day. You wake up, I have a Bloody Mary, and
nice.
You kind of just have football from 10 a.m. till about 8:39 once Sunday night football is over. So it's literally all day. So it's pretty nice.
Dude, I love that. I did Hawaii a few years ago, and that was kind of a trip because I caught a couple of Vikings games there. That was the 2017 season, and the game started like at 8 o'clock, 8 or 9 a.m., and it was like kind of a trip being like waking up, literally rolling out of bed, which I do here at, you know, like 11:55 Central Time. But it was a little weird starting the morning off right away with football. But it's great. I'm glad you guys are still supporting. Eric, you said you moved from Minnesota to California, right?
Yeah, I mean, I originally grew up in California. I moved out there for a little while, for about 6 or 7 years, and then moved back.
Okay, and Colin, what about you?
Right outside of Minneapolis.
Yeah, so I kind of got roped into the whole Vikings thing through my dad. He grew up in Minnesota, and I have lots of family out there, and I've got friends out there as well. And so I kind of just have, you know, tagged on to the Minnesota Vikings and Minnesota sports beliefs in general. So, and then arguably, I think I'm the only one out of my friends, my school, who still supports the Vikings, so it's been tough, but...
Nice, man. Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, this Vikings Event Line, all these dudes that have come on, men and women that have come on, that have said that the majority that I've had people on are not living or residing in Minnesota. So I'm actually like, I'm extremely impressed that like so many Vikings fans are literally all around the country. I think it's awesome. So it's good to know that you guys also support the mission. We just want to see this bleeping team win a Super Bowl before we die. I think we're all, I'm 28 years old. Eric, I don't know how old you are. Kyle, I don't know how old you are either. But I mean, I just want to see it. Just want to see it once. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Yeah, let's get into our first question here. You know, this is what, year four now of the Kirk Cousins era, and it seems like the offensive line is fixed. The weapons are all here. They got ranked fifth by ESPN. There's two great receivers. You have a great running back. Irv Smith should be coming into his own. On the other side of the football, which we'll get into a little bit, mostly that has been fixed. So I want to know from you, and Eric, I'll start with you. Is this a make or break year for Kirk Cousins and in his tenure with the Vikings?
I hope so. I mean, I really think he doesn't have any more excuses. He really needs to produce. He has all the weapons. We can't give him a better team with the salary cap that he currently has. It's really hard to cheer for a guy who also, you know, with that choir boy video coming out and all that kind of stuff, it's been difficult to really have Kirk Cousins back. Every time you get excited, he usually lets you down, I feel like. I feel like he is a very talented quarterback, and I think this year he's going to produce for us, and because I think we're going to have such a team, maybe the pressure will be off him a little bit. We get off to a fast start, and hopefully. So if not, I say we get rid of him next year and bring on Aaron Rodgers or something. That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, man. Colin, before I get to you quick, Eric, you know, I agree. I think everything is set up here. It's been, people have been critical of Kirk. Some people here on that watch Purple Daily and consume Mac and Jed and myself say we're too harsh on Kirk Cousins. But I mean, when you sign that contract and you have the pedigree that he has, and we've been starred for the franchise quarterback, it just seems like he has always melted in those games. So like, do you honestly feel like it's like NFC championship game or bust or something, or like, is it just Super Bowl or bust in this Kirk Cousins era? Where are you kind of feeling?
For me, every year it's Super Bowl or bust. So I've had a lot of heartbreak, but I have high expectations for the team. I always like to say we're a team of the future, because we certainly aren't a team of the past. And I say Super Bowl or bust. Like if he gets us to the NFC Championship game, that's a huge step forward, obviously. But if he comes out and chokes, and we have another, you know, 42-0 loss like we get against the Giants or against the Eagles a long time ago in the NFC Championship game, like, get rid of him and let's move on. I'm excited about Kellen Mond. I think he's got a lot of potential. And I don't want to see him stick around, especially at a $45 million cap. That's too ridiculous.
Colin, what do you think, man? Is this a make or break year for Kirk Cousins in his Vikings uniform?
You know, I think there are a lot of different factors that can kind of go into this, right? And to say that, you know, make it or break it, right? A career defining year, that's a lot. And when you talk about like a make or break season, are you referring to individual stats, or are we talking wins? You know, I think wins personally for me have always been a team stat. And, you know, I'm slightly a Kirk stan, I'm not going to lie, but I'm also not drinking the purple Kool-Aid, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're at the point where we need to see, you know, Kirk to continue to be productive and you know, bring down the turnovers and be consistent. But I think there's a lot of uncertainty as far as where we're at with the team. You know, I think with Kirk, right, we need him to win the games where we are, you know, on the road in Pittsburgh for Sunday Night Football, or we are, you know, coming back at home, we got the Browns at home against the Fancy. Those are the type of games that we need him to win. I don't think we need, you know, top five numbers necessarily, but if we put a team around him that can support him, specifically O-line and a defense that, you know, isn't going to be fourth to last in the NFL, I think then we can kind of start having that conversation. But if Kirk can, you know, continue to do what he's been doing but bring the turnovers down, and the team is as good as we think that it's going to be, you know, I think that we could see a pretty good year. But as far as make it or break it, I don't know necessarily, you know, if I would go that far. But I think that the pressure is building, and now we can kind of sit down and say, you know, Kirk, like, it's time. But yep. At the end of the season, I don't know if I can fully turn around and say, you know, I'm over the Kirk Cousins yet. But it all kind of comes down to how we see the team gel together, really.
Yeah, it seems like the infrastructure around him for the first time, at least in his Vikings tenure, seems to be the best it's ever been. You know, you can make a case in 2018 that defense was still pretty damn good, but you didn't have Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook was in and out of the lineup. Now the offensive line hopefully should be better with Darisaw and Wyatt Davis. But Colin, you said you're a little bit of a Kirk stan, so I guess just curiosity, for you, what is it that you really, really like about Kirk Cousins, or what's something that you think gets kind of misunderstood with some Vikings fans with Kirk?
You know, I think Kirk, you know, overall, he's just, like, he kind of mentioned, right, the choir video. He's just, like, not, like, a super likable guy if you're an opposing fan. He's easy to pick on. And Kirk, you know, I think that the thing with Kirk, right, if he was getting paid where he probably should be, I think we wouldn't be having this conversation. But the fact that he does take up that salary cap kind of does change everything. I think for the first time possibly ever, even when he was in Washington, I think we're putting an O-liner for them that, you know, could possibly support him. So I think that's what I'm most excited for. But I think overall, I have, you know, been able to come up with, honestly, excuses as to why he isn't performing as well as he should be. But even then, I think he's still putting up pretty decent numbers. And last year, I think the Vikings were fourth in yards offensively. And I think this is probably the time where he needs to step up. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think this is mostly a make or break it for him in his Vikings tenure. As Eric alluded to, yeah, $45 million cap hit. You know, it wasn't this season. He wasn't interested in restructuring that cap hit. I believe if you get out, you only eat $10 million of that dead money. So if it's not NFC Championship game, or if it's not Super Bowl, I mean, you can make a case that succession plan and Kellen Mond starts in 2022. But for right now, in 2001, it appears everything is a go. And I'm curious, especially with this NFC North looking like a disaster outside, like the Vikings should absolutely run away with this division. With Devontae Adams news coming out, Za'Darius Smith putting out a cryptic tweet that he wants a realtor, I saw on Friday as well. So it looks like the Vikings should absolutely run away with this division, and there's no more excuses. Let's go to the other side of the football quick. You know, all the free agent resources this year were basically spent on fixing that defense. Last year, yet you didn't have Danielle Hunter. Your cornerbacks were basically all depleted. You had to start a lot of rookies, and they went out this season and they signed Patrick Peterson. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson. Hopefully Eric Kendrick stays healthy for 16 games this year. And obviously Danielle Hunter being back in the defensive line should help getting after the quarterback. So Eric, I'll start with you. What do you think? Do you think the Vikings made the right decision putting all that resources on the defense? And do you think it kind of return to where we're accustomed to be in a Mike Zimmer era?
Absolutely. We signed a lot of really good players. Our defense is loaded. We got stars, studs all over the place. Michael Pierce, Dalvin Tomlinson, Rashad Breeland. I was listening to the All Things Covered podcast that Patrick Peterson does the other day. And him and Harrison Smith were ranting and raving about Xavier Woods. I haven't watched a lot of film on him or anything, but it sounds like, based on what they were saying, that he looks like he's a good piece. Mackenzie Alexander, Danielle Hunter. I'm excited about the options that we can have. Like, we can run a 3-4 defense, put Dalvin Tomlinson, Michael Pierce, and Sheldon Richardson on the front line, and have Danielle Hunter, Anthony Barr come off the edges. You know, and there's a lot of different looks we can give defenses. Mike Zimmer is really creative. I don't see why, you know, barring injury, there's no excuses for this defense to be a top five defense. With that, putting our offense in good position to score should take pressure off again Kirk Cousins, and I really think that this defense is fixed.
Me too, man. I think they've obviously improved. You know, I think it'd be pretty shocking if it was a below average defense. Judd has made a big point that it has to be top 10. It has to be in the top 10 for this Vikings team to realistically be Super Bowl contenders, and for it to where it should be in with Mike Zimmer as the head coach, or heads could roll. I think it's lofty to assume that you just basically flip a switch, plug in six players, and go from 30th to, you know, where it was in 2017-18 when it was the top defense or a top five unit in the NFL. I do think it's significantly improved. Obviously, Xavier Woods is the one that we kind of sleep on because he's a safety, and Anthony Harris had a bad year last year. But, you know, if Harrison Smith and Pat P are raving about him, then, I mean, he must be a damn good football player. So I'm excited to see what he does, too. Colin, what do you think, man? Do you think this Vikings defense is fixed and it's trending back to where it used to be?
Absolutely. I mean, I think last year they faced some big issues that I think they addressed this offseason. And first being, their D-line was pretty undersized. They added Dalvin Tomlinson, Michael Pierce. I believe now we got some good size on that line. And I think, you know, we also had a good hard time getting the quarterback. And, you know, I guess he's back this year. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, two-time Pro Bowler. He had 14.5 sacks in 2018 and 2019, Daniel Hunter. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And I think just in general with their defense, you kind of touched on it, Eric Kendricks. You know, I think he's in the conversation as one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL right now. and our secondary improvements, you know, alone stand out the most, I think. Harris Smith, obviously a hell of a football player. With Patrick Peterson, you guys kind of touched on it a few episodes ago. I think he's really going to serve as that Captain Munderland role of the
future,
and, you know, helping these young guys almost kind of get almost like a translator in a way from coaching, and really just like kind of help these young guys as they kind of start their NFL careers. Bringing in Rashad Breeland, super excited about that. And, you know, this Vikings defense has been arguably top five for four out of the past 5 years. And I think people kind of can forget that.
Mm-hmm.
So if things go how we all are expecting, I think this team could easily be top 10 defensively. And I think that's a very realistic possibility.
Yeah, man. I Pat P is kind of the sexier signing there. I know it was just a one-year deal, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who used to be an all-pro cornerback. Those days are probably behind him. That does not mean he still can't be a serviceable cornerback and someone who's very beneficial in the room. Cam Dantzler was a damn good rookie. People forget that how good he was in the second half of the season last year. I know Jeff Gladney's future and just availability with the Vikings is a little bit up in the air right now, but if Pat P steps in and is at least, as Colin pointed out, a veteran in that locker room, taking on that Captain Munderland role, that could be a big thing for this Vikings defense. And Eric Kendrick staying healthy, I think, is huge. You know, Danielle Hunter is a monster. I'm curious who the heck else is going to play on the other side of him on rushing the cornerback. You know, it was him and Everson Griffin for so long, and that tandem worked out very, very well. It might be a kind of a committee role, but Danielle Hunter being back, and if he's indeed healthy, I mean, he's a top five defensive end, and he's going to absolutely feast on opposing quarterbacks. So we'll transition to this last question here, and you know, I kind of ask everyone that comes on the show, you know, it is that 17 game season now. I keep forgetting that, but how many wins do you think you have for the Vikings this year in 2021, Eric?
I'm going 13-4.
All right.
I look at the schedule. We play a lot of our hard games at home, which is a huge benefit. We always play great at the bank. I see San Francisco, Baltimore, being some tough games for us on the road. We have a couple difficult stretches, but I'm pretty confident in this roster, and I really like the coaching on this team. I think that Mike Zimmer is a really good coach. Every other year, we do really good. It's never back to back, but every other year since Mike Zimmer's been the head coach, we've gone to the playoffs. So I think this is the year that we're going to go make a deep run. And yeah, I'm sticking to 13-4.
Dude, I love it. I love the 13-4 optimism there. I mean, that's probably number one seed. You know, that's probably the number one seed. There's only, what, the one bye in the NFL now, so only one team in the top seed in each conference gets a bye. 13-4, you're probably flirting with getting that bye. And your schedule point, too, it is a difficult schedule from opponent winning percentage and teams last year. But the thing I like the most about it is it doesn't lay out as like a gauntlet. Like, you know, last December when they had to go to the Saints and the Bucks and everything just basically fell out, the bottom fell out after that team, the Vikes were basically locked into the playoffs. And I know that Bears loss at home was the biggest ball breaker there. But this schedule in general, yeah, that Ravens game might be tough. That Niners game might be tough. Steelers could be difficult. But there isn't like a run of three or four games where really you're like, oh, man, this is going to be really insane. And this is going to be a long month for the Vikes. It kind of sets up really, really nice and favorably. And yeah, if that US Bank crowd is back at full strength, yeah, I mean, there should be no excuse why the Vikings shouldn't win six or at least seven of their home games. What do you got else, Eric?
Yeah, and with the, you know, there's rumor, there's talk today, Davante Adams might not be, his contract talks are going bad. Aaron Rodgers might not be back. They got rookie quarterbacks on the Bears. So, I mean, I could see us sweeping the division for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we split games with the Bears and the Packers, but I don't think that's going to happen this year. And then, yeah, I'm pretty confident in that. So
I love it, dude. I love it. Colin, what about you, man? What do you got for a record this year for the Vikes?
You know, unfortunately, I'm not as optimistic as that. I think maybe because I'm hurt all every year, but I'm probably sitting in that, like, 11-6 range, you know, 12-5. I think that there's, you know, this is a really tough schedule. But I think there aren't, like you mentioned, too many stretches where I could say, you know, the Vikings could lose, you know, three out of those four games.
That's right.
Stretch where there's a lot of pressure there. But, you know, something I wanted to point out is, you know, Zimmer went from having, you know, a top 10 scoring defense to third worst, right? And, you know, they were almost, I think it was about 11 points per game more than they were in 2019 and 2018. So, you know, last year the Vikings had lost six games by less than 10 points. So this guy, you know, it was a little bit better than what the record showed. And with, if everything goes to plan and what we, the improvements that we've seen so far and they come to fruition, I could easily see this, you know, 12, 13 wins, but I'm a little bit hesitant about the schedule. And we'll kind of just, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, I'm flirting in that 11 wins as well. I think that's kind of the ceiling. You know, that if and I don't think he is, but if Aaron Rodgers is indeed not going to play for the Packers, I mean, that's six, like, yeah, that's five wins at the very least. Maybe you just lose one in a trap game situation, but that should be five out of six wins easily, and then the rest you just got to piece together six more, and that gets you to 11 wins. So I have an 11. Eric, I love the options at 13-4. I mean, if that's the case, yeah, I mean, start planning the parade. Let's go. Let's have a home field advantage throughout the postseason. I absolutely love it, man. Eric, Colin, thank you so much for coming on Vikings Vent Line. I always like to give a little room for – I'll give each of you a little 60-second shout-out here to shout out anyone you want or make one last take. Eric, I'll start with you. The floor is yours, man.
I just like to make a shout out to my dad and my uncle Scott, who got me into becoming a Vikings fan back in like 97, 98. It's been a roller coaster being a Vikings fan, but I wouldn't change it for anything. And I'm excited for the future. I'm optimistic, and yeah,
love it, dude. Isn't it great? It's Skull to the Bowl. There you go. Isn't it hilarious how, you know, our parents or our uncles or our grandfathers are the ones who just basically put it on us and we're great. All right. We're young. We're impressionable. It's amazing. And then you get older, you're like, why am I doing this? Like, if I do have offspring, like, do I want you to be part of this? I, like, in theory, I think you do, but my years of torture, could possibly, say otherwise. Kyle, what about you, man? Somebody you want to shout out? You got one last take? What do you got for me?
Yeah, man, thanks for having us on. It's been a blast. Shout out, you know, my dad. He's the one who turned me into a Vikes fan. And shout out to everyone coming down for the Chargers game. So my dad, he's still very close to all his high school friends, and they're coming out with all their sons who are now Vikings fans. So we're all staying at our place, and we're going to go down to the Chargers game.
Awesome.
It's going to be a great time. So shout out to them, and I'm really looking forward to the season. And, you know, I hope that it goes as well as we all hope.
Yeah, man. I'm optimistic. I'm ready to go after this. You know, I don't know if you guys are Twins fans, but the Twins have been a disaster this year. The Wild were really fun. They had a nice pop-up year. The Wolves, I think, are trending in a fun direction. It looks like it could be a really interesting summer. But, you know, there's something about that. Like you said, the purple Kool-Aid comes back around even after a sour season. All of a sudden, we're getting closer here. Like, we're 6-7 weeks from the first week of the season, and I'm ready to go, too. So, yeah, man, let's roll. 11 wins, 13 wins, as Eric said. I'm all in on that. Should be an absolute blast. Eric, Colin, thanks so much for coming on, guys. I really, really appreciate it. If anyone wants to be on a future episode of Vikings Vent Line, shoot me an email, vikingsventline@gmail.com. Hit that subscribe button. We're still pumping out 7 days a week of Minnesota Vikings content. We'll have some fun training camp content, and even some fun live episodes that we're going to be doing, even in the evening hours as well. So it's going to be a fun couple weeks here at Score North and on Purple Daily. For Eric, for Colin, I'm Declan Goff. Thank you so much for tuning into Vikings Vent Line, and we'll be back on Monday.